so much. It's lovely to be here in Pixels. Can you kind of see and hear me okay-ish? Good. It's really lovely to hear so many oh, I can see myself now. So many people getting off and giving it a lash, reading poems in a pub. Like, I'm very impressed. I don't know if I'd have that much courage to get up and do a thing, but that was lovely to hear. So thanks to Paul for the invitation to be part of this lovely event. I think I heard somebody say there's been you've had over 600 of these, which is quite astonishing. So I'm really happy to be part of it, and thanks to Rosalind for a lovely intro. And it's lovely to be reading with Jerry. I'm going to start with a poem that's not from The Sun Is Open, but it's an earlier poem, and it's really a praise poem to a creature I admire, and it's called Worm. Burrowing in your allotted patch, you move through the dark, muscles contracting one by one in every part, lengthening and shortening the slick, segmented tube of you, furrows in your wake. Devising passages for water, air, you plot the gaps that keep the structure from collapse. Dead things, you know, plants and creatures both. Your grooves shift matter, sifting as you go. Eyeless, your appetite aerates. Eating the world, you open it. You ingest to differentiate. Under the foot-stamped earth, you eat into a clot of leaf mold, clay, and mildew, and express what you can part with, as self-possessed as when you started. Your secretions bind the soil. Your shit enriches it. How things lie now will be undone, will reoccur. You, a surface-level archivist, sensing all there is can be gone through, the body born within its plot. Thank you. I love the worm. Darwin praised the ordinary heroic labor of the worm. I mean, it's a good life, it's eating and shitting. But I love the worm's labor because from these simple and quite repetitive acts, everything that grows in soil has a chance to flourish. So all the fruit and flowers and everything that comes from the earth, we have the worm to thank for it. But I suppose the worm means something else to me because the worm knows something, as I say in the poem, about living in darkness and living in proximity to the dead and living among dead things. And I suppose that resonates for me because I've been on the hunt for I guess some hints about how to survive my life. As Rosalind said, the book that I published, The Sun Is Open, this one kind of swirls around this autobiographical event, which was my father's murder. He was a prison governor in the Maze prison. And one morning in 1984, my mother and I were standing outside our home in Belfast saying goodbye to him before he left for work. And two gunmen who'd held up our elderly neighbours all night at gunpoint crossed the street, came into the drive, and shot him dead. I tried to shoot my mother, who survived. I was 3 and a half, and the IRA claimed responsibility. And so, from a very early age, my life was shaped by this moment in time, which was obviously a violent one, a traumatic one, one that had the kind of conflict that we call the Troubles in it, and also had a much longer and broader history of colonialism. Another, a long history in it. And so my life, I suppose, from that moment then was about how do I go on? How do I keep going? And the worm taught me something, I suppose, about ongoingness and about surviving and about living with the dead. So I'm going to turn away now from the worm and read some poems from this. I'll say a little bit about the book, and then I'll just kind of go into it for about 15 minutes or so, and you can come along with me. So my mother and my grandmother and my aunts gathered up a lot of material about my father's murder and gave it to me as an adult. And I wasn't really sure what to do with it. And I got one of those crap flat pack boxes from IKEA and kind of put it together and put all this stuff in it and wrote, there was a little label on it, and I wrote Dad Box on the side. And I had this archive, I guess, about my father's, mostly about his death. There was some things in there about his life. So I had his student diaries from when he was a student at Queen's in the 1960s. But it was mostly like long columns of text cut out from newspapers. There were parliamentary records where his murder was debated in the House of Commons, the House of Lords. There was all sorts of stuff. And I didn't really know what to do with this material, like physically what to do with it, how to store it, but also just how to interact with it kind of intellectually, emotionally. And I would sort of lay it all out on the floor and look at things. And I began to sort of copy out some parts of the material. And then I began to sort of speak to and write along with the material. And what emerged, I suppose, were these boxes of text, a lot of the poems. You can see that up close, but there are these little squares of text on the page, these kind of little columns. And I was kind of writing into, they're like little dad boxes, I guess. I was writing into these little boxes to try to make sense of this material and to try to make sense of the long aftermath of his murder, I suppose. I'd written about my father's murder before in a long poem called Typeface. The British state commissioned the historical inquiry team to look into the death of everyone, all the deaths of everyone as a result of the conflict known as the Troubles. And they produced a report about my father's murder, and it was produced in the font Comic Sans, which, if you know it, is a font that's like giving you jazz hands. So it was like laceration of the brain was one of the phrases in the report. Laceration of the brain, laceration of the brain. So I wrote this quite angry and quite ironic poem about trying to read this report about my father's murder that was written in this ridiculous font. But with this book, I wanted to try to do something else. I wanted to write something more expansive that had my childhood experience in it and the kind of texture of childhood as well as adulthood, and that had other tones than just anger and irony, I guess. So that's what I've tried to do in this. And I drew in a lot of material from the box, but I also drew on things that weren't in the box, like Super Ted and memories of playing Tetris on my Game Boy and going to Sunday school. There's quite a lot of the Old Testament. I quote from the IRA statement. There are bits of Shakespeare and Keats and all kinds of stuff in here, really. And the poems are, as I say, in these like little boxes. So there's a kind of breathless quality to them. Yeah, and really I'm just trying to kind of move between these child and adult voices and piece together a sense of who my father was or who he might have been, and imagine a relationship with him, I suppose. So I guess that's all I need to say by way of introduction, other than there's a poem that begins with the phrase, he left, and I'm going to raise my voice a little more when I get to that poem in the last part of it. But otherwise, yeah, I think I'm just going to read from The Sun Is Open for the rest of our time. And thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. So the book opens with a note, which is very similar to the kind of thing I would have read in the newspaper. So I'll begin with that note and then start reading. On the morning of March 6, 1984, Mr. William McConnell, assistant governor of the Mays prison, was outside his home, checking underneath his car for explosive devices, when he was shot dead in front of his wife and 3-year-old daughter. Begin with victim on his back is how this could begin. Place your mouth over his mouth. Pinch his nostrils shut. Easier to take what I have found and break it up. Breathe steadily till victim's chest begins to rise. Pause every minute to glue it back the wrong way. Take a deep breath yourself. If there is no air exchange, Do not touch him. You come into this world head first. Come in on your rump, they call it breech. You may be lifted out. I'm making soft returns. For this, you need two keys, shift and enter, to go down. The line carries on, the carriage moving back. Our house was on a street that slanted at the bottom, a carriageway you didn't cross, four lanes all going 50 to a roundabout nearby. The dog next door was Honey, a lab as old as me, who loved to lie on the just-cut lawn and sniff, her tail going in the afternoon sun. There was a time when I was Brian, like our neighbour six doors down. I had a skateboard with a monkey skull on the underside. My cards read, "Happy birthday, Brian," whose dad, we knew not to say, was in the police. That day, he must have been dead scared hearing the shots. "They're coming now, for him, for me," he might have thought. He had a test in school that day. He knew if X, then Y, but couldn't make the pencil cross the page. It lay along his pointer. Then he folded back three fingers, raised his thumb to make a gun shape. Dream about a man in a car engine, his head sticking out, the car ramming into doors, him going into them head first. When he stands up, there's no top on his head. You can see inside coils of uncooked sausages in there. He pirouettes, falls to the ground, raw meat where the mind should be, or what it is, plump white skin, so pale. The patient is pale, his skin cold and clammy. Quick and irregular shock can occur. Send for a doctor, slow pulse and pallor. Give him a sweet drink, lay his arms down. Kneel at his head, place the palms down. Your mouth over his, the first movement starts. Breathing out, breathing in. When breathing has stopped, allow lungs to empty. Take your lips from his face. The patient should lie in a cool, shady place, his head raised so blood can drain from his brain. We burned the boats, we burned the sweets, we burned the packages they came in, burned the leaves along the path, we burned the bits of paper dropped on pavement slabs, we burned the sign that said wet paint, burned the grass and then the edges of our shoes, we burned our laces at the ends, the plastic melting as they frayed, we burned a track left on a bench, we burned the matches in the box, then burned the box, the matches came in. Around noon, the girl took her auntie by the hand to the rows of rose bushes where her father wasn't. Around noon, the men sent out for fish and chips, and as they sat eating, they watched the lunchtime news to find out if they had killed their target. How did we spin the thread that tethered each to each, me, you, you, me? How did we exist before these letters, all these sounds? I know sound we had enough to sound out the line between us. I had a sound for you. By it, I called you Daddy. You had one for me. The name you gave me between one and two syllables, Gail, you called me, your twice voiced daughter. White cotton handkerchief, you knotted all the corners and set it on my head under the sun at Helen's Bay. I knew it happened in a photo. I knew it happened from a photo. I knew it happened, and the photo is something you have left. He left. The vertical went from to a changing shape, a fall, a turn, 90 degrees. I look up vertical. It turns to vertex, the apex, the crown of the head, a whirlpool swirling into a vert, turning his head. My mother shouting, Bill! Turning it towards what was coming. Just to say, just to say, just to say. A trio of cards saying nothing to say. Just this. Just grief. Just not what is just. Baked potato alphabet laid out on the sheet. She lifted up and tilted. All the letters fell onto my plate beside the beans. I spelled the words I knew and some I didn't yet. The T upended and a bit lopped off. You have an L. I make my name, then take it by the lip, swivel it in place to show her. There I am in the news on in the corner. Captions scroll from right to left. We watch to see what's breaking. My father rejoices. That's what it means, my name, I mean, but did he? What, if anything, was the source of his joy? Was there joy between us before he left or after he walked through the hall, the squeaky door saddle, across the tiles, walking outside into the morning, into those bullets sailing through the blue air, into perforation, into a heap, into gravel, an almost human shape, into death, into silence, or whatever comes after. Look to the mountains. Help will come. Let your awake guard you. The sun will not hurt. Day, moon, night, come and go. Thank you for listening.